Oh, here he comes! Hey. Minister!
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 How are you? Minister, answer, well, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
Good afternoon, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Will. How are things?
Things are well. It's sunny up here in Auckland, and it's the last sitting day for the House for Parliament for this year today.
It's kind of like that, I think. Yeah, there's so many MPs leaving the House there. I thought maybe, Will, we can kind of rattle through some of them, make mention of all the ones who have spoken already with their valedictory speeches to Parliament, and perhaps focus in on a few that are significant.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this earlier because there's been sort of a little stream of news stories recently with these valedictory speeches, people saying their last goodbyes, I suppose. And it seems like there is a lot of people leaving at the end of this term. Is it unusually high, or am I just, I haven't been around long enough to notice?
I haven't done the big count, you know, in comparison count, but it does seem like quite a few. You know, if we look at it, we've got Sue Kedgley. She did her valedictory speech last Tuesday. On the following Wednesday, we had Mita Rurinui. We had Keith Locke that same day. On the Thursday last week, there was Ashraf Chowdhury, Heather Roy, Sir Roger Douglas and George Hawkins. Tuesday, there was Lynn Pillay, Pete Hodgson, Jim Anderson. And Wednesday, there was Sandra Goody, Georgina Tuhuhu, and Dr. Wayne Maff and Simon Power. So it's a real, you know, there's quite a list there. And it might be, you know, that some of those, you know, the National Party ones, you can only guess, you know, everyone's got many, many reasons for leaving a particular job. And it might be, you know, that some of those in the centrist area, like Simon Power, I know there was personal reasons for him leaving as well, but it might be that the centrists are starting to lose their hold on power in the National Party, that things are moving more to the right, leaving Simon Power, Wayne Mapp and Bill English, you know, pretty much exposed. Bill English is still obviously going to stay there, but some of the others going. But getting back to it, if we look at perhaps Sue Kedgley, well, you know, and we just kind of look at that in brief, and Sue Kedgley, you know, what she has stood for in her time in Parliament. She's been there a wee while.
Well, she was one of the first, when the Greens first came into Parliament, she was one of the first of those original MPs, wasn't she?
Yeah, and an interesting person. You know, she's worked in all sorts of areas before Parliament, certainly knew her foreign affairs, although she wasn't a spokesperson for foreign affairs, even knew the UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon, as I understand. So Sue Kedgley's had an interesting kind of
as a golfing buddy or something, she...
And, you know, I guess what she represented in the Green side was, you know, she was a spokesperson for health, but she really got into those areas of food security, food safety, labelling of foods, things like that. And you've got to look at these MPs and give them credit, I think, when they've stood up for something that they're passionate about and they've actually been labelled as, you know, the person who really does know all about those kind of areas. Mm. Sue Kedgley in that area. Mita Rurinui, you know, he was most prominent, I suppose, back when Labor first took the Treasury benches in, at the end of 1999. He never made significance in Cabinet, in a sense, but what he did do at that stage is he represented the people in the Bay of Plenty, his Māori constituencies, very well in those early years. He fell out of favour, I suppose, in a sense, with the rise of the Māori Party and lost his seat there, and then Labor propped him up on the party list for a time. So he's bowing out. He's done his job, and that's that. Keith Locke, now, what an amazing guy. You know, Keith has come from a family of very, very wonderful people who have stood up for ideals and principles going back, you know, generations. And Keith Locke, there's a train going past. Well, it might be a bit loud. But Keith Locke, you know, he has stood up in Parliament on so many issues and said, you know, the current thinking on this is just plain wrong. It's unjust. And he'll point out an injustice without actually taking on board any kind of backlash or impact that he might suffer as a consequence of it. You've got to think, you know, the Ahmed Zawi case, it would not have had the exposure in Parliament that it did if it wasn't for Keith Locke and also another parliamentarian, Matt Robson, who isn't in Parliament now but was a attached to first the Alliance and then the Progressive Party. Keith Lock and Matt Robson really, really did take it on the chin so many times by speaking, you know, on ideals of justice relating to that case.
It's interesting with the, you know, the smaller parties, the Greens, Sue Kedgley and Keith Lock are the last remaining pair of those original MPs, and they're going, and with ACT, with, you know, ACT as a political force have been dwindling for a while, and of course Jim Anderton, who is the party in and of himself, so the small parties are really up for, because they have a smaller a number of people there, it's a real change on that front.
It is a big change. Yeah, the Greens are certainly, it is the old guard gone, and it's over to the new generation of Green MPs. There's some standouts starting to show, and I guess what most of us know the Green Party leadership, so I won't go into that. But you look at Kevin Hague there. You know, we don't see an awful lot of Kevin Hague, perhaps, in the last 3 years. We didn't see a lot of Kevin Hague in the last 3 years, I should say. But when we have, he's dynamic. He's a real intelligent guy there, and there's some depth and future for the Greens. When you look beyond their leaders and you see people like Kevin Hague sitting there, that guy could lead that party, no trouble at all. He's a former chief executive of the District Health Board down on the west coast of the South Island, but did his bones up here in Auckland. You know, this is where he learnt his politics. He was very big in Auckland University politics going back into the early 80s and was significant in the Springbok, anti-Springbok tour movement in Hart at that time. And even, I think, represented a lot of people who were charged during the Springbok tour. He represented them as a very young man and not qualified in court, defending their interests. So he's an interesting guy, Kevin Hague. I'd say look out for him. But getting back to these valedictory speeches, you know, on that was Keith Lock we were mentioning there. If we move into, like, on the Thursday last week, there was Ashraf Chowdhury. Now, we very cruelly, we labelled him the politician that wheezes, and that's about all you'll hear from him in Parliament when he's there. I can't really think too much more about what Ashraf Chowdhury has done apart from sitting there and occasionally wheezing and putting the odd flaky kind of patsy question to his ministerial
harsh summary there.
So he's a Labour MP that perhaps they can well do with replacing.
One thing... One of the Labour MPs I was thinking about was Pete Hodgson, who I didn't realise had been around for what, 30 years or something?
Yeah,
he's held almost every portfolio in the book. You don't see him much these days.
I mean, going back into the mainstay of when Helen Clark was Prime Minister, you know, those big years, Pete Hodgson was very much a strategist and behind the scenes there of how they would pitch their election policies or election year kind of politics. He was a big thinker in that regard. But going back when they were in opposition in the 1990s, Pete Hodgson started to rise there, and he had some pretty... important kind of messages. Even in the environment area, Pete Hodgson was very active. And, some who are interested in ecology and migratory kind of things, I remember Pete Hodgson in the 1990s raised this big issue, how developments in Japan with Fukuoka in particular at that time, these island kind of constructions that were going on, and they were knocking off the feeding grounds for the migratory bird, the godwit. And he was right on the money there, you know, that the godwits would stop there, have a bit of a feed before they headed back down to New Zealand from their Siberian migration. And there was a drop-off in numbers. They're back in big numbers, obviously, now. But it was a big point and a big debate that was going back there about how development and these other kind of huge economies overseas would have an impact on the natural environments of these migratory birds. So, you know, he's not just a New Zealand-thinking kind of politician. Pete Hodgson was quite an interesting guy.
Yeah.
We,